Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thyself in all Thy holiness and wisdom and justice and truth, that there is mercy and kindness and love and grace toward us. We need Thee to be merciful. We need Thy grace. We need Thy help. We are so weak in ourselves, but we pray Thee, Father, by Thy grace and mercy, to strengthen us to believe and to draw us near unto Thyself. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen. As we come along in our study in the book of Matthew to the 14th chapter, we come to the story of the death of John the Baptist. In the first 12 verses of the 14th chapter, as you read it, you will see that this is not to say that at this time in the story John the Baptist died. He died earlier than this. But this is the record given here of the death of the Lord John the Baptist. So let me read it to you and make some comment upon it as we go along. Reading in chapter 14, the book of Matthew, chapter 14, at the first verse. At that time Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus, and said unto his servants, This is John the Baptist, he is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. And then there follows the story of his death. But just now I'm interested in noticing the credulity of the natural man. You know, we oftentimes are inclined to think that it's the Christian who is the credulous person, that the Christian is the one who finds it easy to believe. And the amazing thing is that while the natural man may find it difficult to believe the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, he can believe the most astonishing things outside of that. The wildest notions can lodge in his mind. And here's one of them. Here is Herod, who, when he hears of the work and of the preaching and of the power of Jesus of Nazareth, makes this comment, This is John the Baptist raised from the dead. This would indicate that Herod the Tetrarch was not at all acquainted with Jesus of Nazareth, and it would also indicate he wasn't very well acquainted with John the Baptist, even though he was instrumental in his death. But it also goes to show how the human heart and mind can be affected. We can doubt the things of God and believe anything else under the sun. We have people who cannot begin to believe the story of the Bible and they believe the most amazing, fantastic theories about the origin of the world. They don't believe what is given to them, but they'll believe anything else. Now let us look here in chapter 14, in the book of Matthew, chapter 14, from verse 3 on, we shall read this sad story of the death of John the Baptist. For Herod had laid hold on John, bound him, and put him in prison, for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, It is not lawful for thee to have her. We do not at this point have any idea under what circumstances John said that. I do not know that one needs to specially dwell upon it, but I myself would have some doubt as to whether he talked about this in public. I'm not at all sure that this is what he preached on in public. It may very well be that in private conversation this is the way he put it to Herod. In any case, Herod knew that John certainly did not approve his having his brother Philip's wife. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. John was a very popular preacher. We had seen that before and was true even at this time. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them. This would evidently be Herod's stepdaughter. It would be the daughter of Herodias by a former marriage. And she danced before Herod and pleased Herod, whereupon he promised her with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask, the kind of promise that a man would make in a time of hilarity, in the time of revelry. Perhaps he had been drinking, who knows, and he made this promise. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, Give me here John Baptist's head in a charger. And the king was sorry. Nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. Now look at that for a moment. He was sorry in that he really realized that this was unfitting. This should not be. But for his oath's sake, and how often we find that to be true, people who do not have any integrity and do not have any stability say, well, I gave my word, I've got to stay by it. We know of such cases. I can think right now of a young woman who broke her marriage vow and went away with another man. And when the time comes now that she wonders whether or not she should seek to repair the damage she has done, if it were at all possible, if it were any way at all possible to do these things, she'll be inclined to say, well, I gave my promise to this other man, I can't break it. She broke the promise to her husband, but she can't break the promise she gave to this other man in sin. How often these things follow. When we have something in all righteousness and we are unfaithful there, then we turn around and get involved in something that's actually crooked. And there we say, well, I gave my word, I'll have to stand by it. How many times there are people who will say, well, they're expecting me to come over this morning, but it's church time. But they're expecting me to come. Well, it's church time. Well, you don't understand how it is. You see, those people are expecting me. Well, listen, isn't God expecting you? Do you not have a prior commitment to worship God? Is any promise you make on earth as important as that? It was with Herod. I expect it is to this day with some people, but let's not misunderstand it. There's no virtue in that. That's the kind of consistency that's a refuge that some people take. They feel they gave their word, they have to stick by it. And even though it's wrong, and they know it's wrong, but you see deep down underneath, they really didn't mind it. That's really what you have to account for in this. Certainly the king was sorry. How many wicked men are sorry? The sorrow of this world worketh death. It's no great virtue to be sorry when you've made a fool of yourself. That's just very ordinary. And the king was sorry. There's no virtue in that. Nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat. Ah, there you have it. You see, he wanted to look as if he was a man of his word, and he wanted to look as if he could do just as he pleased. And so for the sake of them which sat at meat, he sent, he commanded it to be given to her, and he sent and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And that's the petty, pitiable story of the death of John the Baptist. The only thing about it that I feel like making a comment about is one thing that you can keep in mind. You don't need to feel sorry for John. Just keep that in your mind. You don't need to feel the least bit sorry for John. Every now and again, I can imagine there will be some people that say, well, wasn't it a terrible thing that he was beheaded? Not nearly as terrible as it was for Herod who beheaded him. Really now. It's not so important that we live down here for just so many years longer, is it? Isn't it really important that we live in eternity with God? Think it over. The things of this world don't have that much meaning. His disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. That's the story. Now, the apparent tragedy, when you look at it, you could say, well, isn't it too bad? He didn't mean to do it. Oh, there's a deeper tragedy than that. The real tragedy is that when John told him the truth and Herod knew the truth, he neglected to respond when the light shone. That was the real tragedy. That this happened afterwards, that was, in a sense, you can say that's bad or too bad, but that's to be expected. It's a good deal as though a person were driving along on a road, and you come to a fork in the road, we will say, and the signs tell you that this road over here to the right is dangerous. They tell you that it's wet, and they tell you that it's muddy, and they tell you that that a bridge is out, and that you're liable to be bogged down in the mud. This is over here on the right. Over on the left, it tells you that the road is an all-weather road, and you'll be safe. And you're at the point of making a decision. So you make the decision, and you go on the right. You turn to the right. That's the road that was marked muddy. It is the road that was marked dangerous. But you go on it. So you get on it, and your car starts sliding into the ditch. You say, that's too bad. It was too bad you took that road. The car sliding into the ditch is normal. Gravity will just pull it there. There's no use of then getting to where you say, well, isn't it too bad it got here? It's too bad you went on that road. Getting there was no problem. The man who takes a big chance and runs a risk at the top of a mountain, we will say, and someone says to him, don't go too close to the edge. And he says, I can do as I please, and I'm old enough to know my own mind. So he goes over there and starts slipping and sliding. He slides perhaps a 100 yards before he falls off the cliff. When he finally falls off the cliff and falls down to his death, people say, well, it wasn't that too bad. At the last minute, he fell off the cliff. No, what was too bad was that he was up way up there at the top, 100 yards back. He could have been safe, but he took a chance, and he did a foolish thing, and then these things followed. The neglect to respond when the light shines, that's the bad part. The result of the foolishness is just an ordinary natural thing. You can call bad if you want to. By that time, I guess you would say in one sense it's bad. But the really bad part is he had a chance to go straight. And this man had a chance to do the right thing. It's the peril of the halfway mark. You know, there's a great snare in admission which does not lead you to submission. A person can admit the truth, but if you do not submit to God, it's worse than useless. Many people fool themselves by admitting certain things are wrong. Then they feel virtuous, because, of course, they are wrong, so at least they told the truth about that. No, it's not virtue until you submit yourself to the right. And if you submit yourself, then God can be on your side. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us to respond when the light shines on our pathway. Strengthen us to walk with thee when it's safe, that thou mayest be able to keep us forever. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.